Hi everyone, my name is Rachel Aminu, and if you follow me on my social media platforms, you know me as Ray. Today I have a very special guest for us. She is my biological sister. I have two sisters. She is the younger sister. She is a mom of two boys. She has a Bachelor of Science in biology. She also not only dabble into chemicals by day, but she also her family when she gets home, but also she volunteers leading the young adults in ministry, as she's passionate about kids and passionate about the topic for today, which I thought me welcome Yemi Idowu to this fun stuff, our hangout for today. And we want to talk to parents. I am excited about what we're going to share with you. I believe she has great and valuable information, and she can help guide parents. Today's topic is gender roles and sexual identity. So I'm just going to read briefly what she sent to me, what she shared with me that I thought was profound. If I could memorize it, I would, but I want to make sure that I say it word for word. So here we go. Children depend on their parents for everything. To their eyes, we are like superheroes, able to lift them into the air with one arm, make the monsters under the bed evaporate, and turn tears into laughter with a well-placed raspberry. They want to be like us one day. That's a sobering thought. As a parent, you are your child's first and most enduring image of manhood or womanhood. What they see in your gender is the way they will define manhood and womanhood throughout their lives. Are you gentle? Then they will see gentleness in your gender as normal and a quality to be emulated. Are you forceful? Then forcefulness is normal. Your children are miniature reflections of you. You might even call them image bearers. In their eyes, normal is defined by the consistent character qualities that they see in you. Now, moving on, it says that both genders have equal worth. We're going to talk about that. Yet each was designed to reflect God's glory and achieve his purposes in unique ways. Being a boy or a girl is more than adhering to a typical male-female gender stereotypes. We need to help our children understand their intrinsic personality bent and to see how they can use it to reflect the image of God in their grown-up roles one day. Girls are women in training and boys are men in training. I'm going to continue in a little bit, but I want to ask Miss Yemi a couple of questions. So today's topic is gender roles and sexual identity. When I was researching that, one researcher mentioned that there's a difference between gender and sexuality. Gender is your biological, sexuality, how you're born, right? With either as a male or as a female, right? Because I don't know if kids are going to be listening to this, so I'm trying to keep it G, right? Okay, so that's how they defined it. And then the researcher said that with sexuality, it has more to do with your trait. And that's one of the things I was reading about, that even as a male, you may have a gentle side to you, right? And that's male, even though that's not the norm. So my first question to you would be the role. How do parents play a role in their kids' gender and sexuality?
The way that I feel like parents can contribute to the roles and the gender roles and the personality is by actually accommodating their children's personality, not fully pressuring being pressured into what society considered to be a male and what society considered to be a female. A female cannot act like this, cannot play sports, cannot be a police officer. A female cannot be a football player, cannot do this. A man should not be in the kitchen. A man should not be playing with, you know.
Oh, no, you need men that can cook.
you get what I mean? So right, I feel like as a parent, you need to differentiate your children's personality.
Right.
If your child is somebody that is very affectionate, don't look at it as what society has picture or as paint. You should not be worried about what society thinks, but actually look at it from God's perspective. Why did God place this personality in my child's life? Mm-hmm. How can I direct my child, you know, to help or to love on someone or to love other people by showing them this kind of emotional side, by showing, even if you're a boy, how can I as a man, right, be accommodating with my boy about showing emotions? Because I feel like even with the African American community, we tend to shun away from men showing their emotions. Why?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
because they say boys don't cry.
Yeah, boys don't cry. We feel like that's you know, that's a man. That's what men think. Mm-hmm. But in the Bible, when you read in the Bible, you see places where God is grieved, where Jesus cried, where Jesus wept bitterly. You see all those things, but I feel like sometimes we take that away and then focus on what society has placed a man to be or a woman to be. I feel like we should accommodate those personality and try and lead them, you know, in a godly way, and, you know, just appreciating your personality, your character. This is who God made you to be.
And
you're not less of a man if you show your emotion.
When you show your,
you're not less of a man if you don't play a sport. You're not less of a woman if you don't show emotions, you know? And I think that's what we should have at the back of our minds.
Okay, so based on what you're saying, just keeping in mind that, yes, you're born, for example, you're born a man, but that's your gender. Now, your sexual identity is you're looking at your personality. That's one of the things you said. Looking at that child's personality. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a particular male who was feminine, like he has feminine touch, I want to call it. Now, I know this is more like a gray area and not a lot of people like talking about it. It's important for parents to not be hasty to say, because my girl likes dinosaurs or like playing with boy toys, or she likes playing rough because she's aggressive. That doesn't mean that there is a change in her sexual identity that's different from her gender.
Right.
Because she wants to, because your son likes princess dresses, there's a reason why maybe he's drawn to that. But that doesn't mean you should label him as wrong. That, okay, maybe his sexual identity doesn't match his gender, right?
I came across one of my colleagues, and she was telling me how his son likes playing with hair, likes playing, you know, he likes to wear her shoes, you know, he likes to clean the house. Like, this is a small boy that would take a broom and start cleaning,
like,
you know,
but
like he's like two.
Okay.
But the thing is, he's actually emulating someone that he sees.
Exactly.
You know? He's fond of his mom. He loves what his mom is doing. So he's not, I mean, we shouldn't, just because of what we see, we shouldn't automatically label that as, oh, I need to push him towards something
masculine, something different.
And I feel like, you know, as a parent, we need to be led and we need to be cautious. Just, you know, observe, write things down. Okay, this child likes to do this, likes to do that. And you don't, and I remember I was reading an excerpt, and the lady was sharing a son. He came out that, you know,
he wants to be
a girl. And then they took him to a therapist, and, you know, to cut the long story short, it was because, you know, the parents were concentrated on their newly baby girl. Mm. So the boy felt like, okay, the parents love the girl more.
Oh.
They're showing so much affection towards the baby girl.
So if I change to be like that,
then my parents will love me more.
Right.
So I feel like that is to say that, you know, sometimes we need to observe, observe our children, observe their personality, observe the areas that we are lacking as a parent. Observe things, you know, if your boy likes to cook, join him in cooking.
Right.
You know, explore that area. Don't shun him off, because the excerpt that you read, it says that children are our image bearer. So they're a reflection of who we are.
Right.
So, you know, if you're shunning that part or that character off, they might feel, oh, well, it's not okay for me to be a cook.
It's almost, you don't know what that child is going to be. That child might be a famous chef, right? That child may end up being a great writer or artist, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've mentioned a couple of things. And just to recap some of the great tips that you just gave, just keeping in mind that as a parent, our children are emulating us. They are looking at us as example of gender roles. So for a single mom, as an example, like you said, if a boy is looking at her, he's looking at her not just from a female perspective, but he's also learning few things. And we also said, don't be quick to jump into conclusion. Just observe, write it down. And there's nothing wrong with praying. Just pray over that child, you know. Mm-hmm. Pray and just trust God to lead you concerning your child and their personality. You also mentioned the third thing, personality, or fourth, your personality, right? Just keeping that in mind. Mm-hmm. The role that media plays, it can be so manipulative. There was a time when women had to stay home. And that's all they did. They were homemakers. But in the day and age that we're in, you have dads who are stay-at-home dads. Right. You have men who work from home, and the women are actually out there in the workforce, right? They're dominating the workforce. Where I'm going is gender roles or sexual identity. Sometimes media paints it to where it's warped. You know, there are certain stereotypes. There are certain things that women are supposed to do, that men are supposed to do. Like you said, for example, that women are emotional. So it makes it seem abnormal when it's the man that is emotional. There's nothing wrong with the man being emotional. If he has that soft side, then let him show that soft side. What are some gender stereotypes that you've heard or you know?
Dressing.
Okay.
I was actually reading some things today about, you know, in some part of Nigeria, there are some men who wear skirts.
Yeah, that's true. Just like kilts, like
kilts, you know, just because it's a part of your culture to wear that type of attire.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you less of a man. Or it doesn't even affect your personality,
your gender.
It doesn't affect that. I believe there are roles that men play, and I believe there are roles that women play.
Starting with faith. Okay, go ahead.
Men are supposed to protect. They're supposed to provide. They are supposed to instruct their children. And I believe that women are supposed to nourish and nurture those children. They're supposed to teach the children when, not saying that, you know, not saying that the roles cannot switch. I believe that, you know, there are going to be times that the men will have to nurture and the women will have to provide. But according to the Bible, the primary role of a man is to provide emotionally, physically, spiritually, everything they're supposed to provide. So that's my reference point.
There's a season in
life where the dad is staying home. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a season. You're just there for your child. You're there as a protector, as a provider. At that moment in time, you're providing for your family by staying home. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's so true. I like that. And one of the research, because I like doing researches, there's a joke that someone posted, I think, on Instagram, that if you're taking a shower and you don't hear a crying baby, are you even a mom? So there's like, sometimes you just feel like you hear a child crying, even now that the twins are like 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So every now and then I'm like, the house is too quiet. Or I'm like, was that one of them? A baby is born, a dad tends to, that their progesterone goes down, it decreases. Mm-hmm. And that hormone that goes down allows them that moment to nurture. They need that masculinity, that hormone to go down so that they can actually nurture. And that's when the sensitive side comes out. That's when you hear them like doing all that. I just want to use this opportunity to let parents know, you know, for a parent who is struggling in that particular area, don't jump into conclusion. Just study your child, you know, and as they grow older, take notes, you know, what are the things they like, help them in that area, and don't necessarily group them as what I would like to call a mistake, because that's how people think it is. Story, growing up, my younger sister is here. So growing up, my older sister is the aggressive one. And even till now,
I was just gonna say that.
Call her like the military. She was the one that grew up beating boys. Was the one that, you know, no nonsense, you don't want to mess with her. Even when we moved from Nigeria here, she was into pants, she wasn't really into dresses and skirts. That was just her, and she was tough bone. My point is this: growing up, actually, I remember how they would tease her, and even when we were in school, because we were like a one grade apart, I want to say, or two grades.
Two. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they would tease her even at school. I remember that, oh my goodness, you should have come out a boy. Like, this is something that my mom would even
say.
Then that was a mistake. You should have come out as a boy. I mean, we would joke about it because our culture, I believe at the time, allowed it. But I love the fact that I believe God in his mercy protected her from those comments. Because now she's a married woman of two healthy boys, a great marriage. I mean, there's things that they do that I look up to. But if she had allowed even comments from my parents to define her sexual identity. Mm-hmm. She's a female. She's born a female, but there are three girls. And my mom felt like she was entitled to one boy. So they teased her about that. Even our friends at middle school, high school, they teased her. Even like the day she was getting married, they were like, I can't believe you're getting married to a man. Like, that's how intense. But now we joke about it. And even till now, we can joke about it. And we'll be like, oh my goodness, you're so tough. She recognized that side of her as her personality and her trait. That's just her. She's tough. But being tough and being aggressive, what other people would label as a boy trait, somehow she was able to see it as part of her personality and who she is. And she's married to a military man. So they're good. They're compatible with each other. But my point is, she did not allow those comments to define her. And I think that is very important. There's a book by Jackie Hill Perry called Gay Girl, Good God. And that's going to be my next question, and I think probably second to last question. It's a really good book. And in that book, she mentioned and even shared on social media that just because you feel a certain way does not mean you have to go with the feeling.
Right.
It's just the same way as being a married woman. Even if you're attracted to someone else, it doesn't mean you necessarily pursue that attraction, because you know in you that is wrong, right? Mm-hmm. In the same way that even if you lust or you feel some attraction as a female, let's say you feel an attraction to another female, there may be certain things about that person that you admire, but it doesn't mean you should necessarily pursue that lust or pursue that attraction. Right. What do you think about that?
I honestly think that is so true. We have to realize that we are, you know, we have this endemic nature. So like she rightfully said, just because you admire something in someone, a man or a woman, that does not mean you have to pursue that. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like what you said about my sister, because I was going to point that out. Because it shows as a parent that we should guard our tongue.
Yeah.
We should watch what we say and watch what we do. You know, if God hadn't protected her mind with all those coming, okay, our human nature being lustful towards things. You know, sometimes we even, like when you're going shopping, when you're going window shopping, you know, you see something that you can't, you see something that you can't afford.
Right.
But a disciplined person would be, oh, you know what? I'm not going to buy that $1,000 purse because I have a rent that I need to pay. I can't afford it, you know? So I feel like that's a rightful thing to say.
Right. I like that word discipline. I'm reading from like Arrows. It's a devotional. Mm-hmm. It says, far too often our limited understanding of masculinity and femininity creates more confusion than is necessary. Right. Is your son gentle and tenderhearted? Don't try to make him man up. You just said that. Don't try to make him man up. Instead, help him to understand the nurturing, self-sacrificing side of masculinity. Show him how restraint is often the most courageous choice a man can make. Show him how true leadership requires that we listen to and understand the ones we lead. Is your daughter wild and wired for battle? Don't try to force her to play with dolls and like pink. Help her to understand how her natural grit can be used to engage in spiritual battles as a woman. God refers to himself as an ever-present help in times of trouble. So the role of a helper is not a passive role. It requires strength and a natural ability to carry the burdens of others. Our sons and our daughters were created to bear the image of God, not the masculine or feminine images in our own minds. So when we focus on helping them to reflect his image, we discover that his image is more robust than we could have ever imagined. We are not talking about the medical or defects, you know, and you're struggling with that and you're thinking, wait a minute, is there something wrong, right? You may need to talk to a professional and talk to a therapist, but in this moment, what we're encouraging you to do is observe that child. Help them to see that particular trait and just guide them, be there to guide them towards that trait matching their gender and not trying to change the gender to match the trait. Okay. Any last advice for us regarding gender roles?
The last advice that I would love to give is that we always have to remember that there's a purpose for, you know, the different sexes. There's a purpose for family. So we always, as a parent, we should always keep in mind that our children will see, you know, what we want them to see. So if we are shunning a part of them, they might feel like, you know, my father or my parents rejected this side of me. God might reject this part of me.
Well, I see what you're saying.
God didn't make me, you know, like this. God didn't like me enough to, you know, to put this type of personality inside of me. But once we show them that, you know, God made you a perfect person.
Yeah.
For a purpose, for a mission, for, you know, for different things. You are beautiful just the way you are. Then we appreciate that more, then we accommodate that, you know, that affirmation that they're, you know, that they're wanting, you know, and they don't have to look aside. They don't have to look out for that affirmation. They don't have to look elsewhere for that affirmation. So I feel like as a parent, we should always keep at the back of our minds that, you know, these children are looking unto us for affirmation.
You have a purpose. Your existence is not by chance. Your child's existence is not by chance. You are valuable, you are worthy, you are special, you are unique. Every part of you is unique. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mrs.
Thank you for having me.
For joining me and just shedding wonderful, clear light on this. I'm rooting for your success as a parent. We're all learning together.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knows it all. And if you have a comment that you want to share, please, or questions, just go ahead and share that. Please subscribe if you have not. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Thank you. I hope you have a great day. You woke up one of the boys. Hey, Mike.